IVM.
Stories, we've got stories. They're a little bit of funny and a little bit of the same dad. You wanna hear them? It's got humans. They're sitting in a box and talking old Edwards out loud.
So why did you go to Mathura? Just like you went to chill and all.
Yes.
You do that now.
Yeah, I'm that person now.
How long have you been this person?
It started last year. I now go to either Goa or Mathiran, right, or like some place nearby like Gokarna or something, yeah, for like 2 days a month.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a detox mechanism.
Yeah, and you know what? I make the time. Like, because yeah, otherwise you're always like, "Arey, nahi, ye ho raha hai. Oh, is that the thing that got postponed? No, no, no." Now I'm like, I will make the time. I work backwards from those 2 days.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I'm not available on these 2 days. And I'll schedule all my work around it. Because those 2 days, I have to go and I have to take pictures for the gram.
Oh.
Those 2 days, I have to make a reel or something about me being on holiday or something like that. That's my...
But this is nice. No, I also recently learned the importance of taking a break. Like, I used to love the idea that, no, I'm always doing things. No. I'm cool, busy guy, you know, and now I realize I'm just mainly tired guy.
Busy, like, tired guy.
Yeah, busy, tired guy.
Dude, you know, here's a question. I really thought about this recently, right? Is how, I mean, first of all, there's that whole like, oh my God, hustle culture. Like, you gotta be working all the time. You're busy all the time. You got so much going on. Or that you're so unavailable. Wow.
Yeah.
And that sort of, like, I feel like, at least for me, has sort of lost its sheen.
Yeah.
It has really lost its sheen. Even when people ask, like, what do you do? So, my best friend is in Germany right now. I visited her recently in Berlin. And she...
with the doggy.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And it's a shortbread.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's criminally cute.
Own Instagram account it's got.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, what's a dog without its own Instagram account?
Is it even alive?
Just another creature.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just another.
Just a smaller wolf.
So she is looking for a job right now. And, you know, she and I had like, I mean, we've been friends since we were like, whatever, 8 years old. But she and I had a couple of head-to-heads because I was like, oh, you know, like, you have the time, make this booking now. I have to finish some work and all. And she's like, no, Aditi, just because I'm looking for a job right now, it's actually more work than having work.
Mm.
So can you please back off and do your own bookings? I'm not your like mom who's going to hang around and do your work. And the thing she told me that really blew my mind was she was like, you know what? So many times when people ask you when you're out and about, they'll be like, oh, what do you do? People always say, you know, whatever their job is because we define ourselves with our job.
Yeah.
There is no other depth. Like if someone asked you, Naveen, today, hey, you know, Naveen, what do?
I chill.
See, yeah.
That's I'm what mostly, I was just saying. Yeah, that's what I mostly chill, man.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, I have to
something
do work
happens.
Because,
because I have to make some money to feed myself.
Yeah. It's always the answer of what are you doing right now? Okay, there's a project or
but
whatever.
I think with us, we also do so many different things all the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of hats that we wear in order to make ends meet. Like sometimes you're a comic, but sometimes you're like a voiceover thing, or sometimes you're like a producer, sometimes you're a writer.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
And so in that world, how do you then tell somebody, what do you do? Like, I mean, especially now that everyone has a gig job, right? Everyone is like in the gig economy.
Yeah.
Like earlier, someone would say, what do you do? And someone would be like, I work at Larsen and Toubro. And that would be a thing. You didn't have to tell them what
you did.
You
don't
even
know it was Toubro and not Turbo, you know?
First thing. You're welcome.
No, when I worked at L&T, I would tell everybody that L&T, Larsen and Toubro. And they're like, oh, it's not Turbo. And I'm like... You would think.
No, but I think there are still a lot of people who work in Larsen & Toubro, but we just don't hang out with them. You know what I mean?
I mean, they come
think
to
like
our shows.
As you spend time longer and longer in the entertainment industry, you get further and how many of your friends are IT professionals now, man?
Exactly. You learn to differentiate also based on that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, my life just right now is so crazy, right? My friend, and I know he'll hear this, but I have to say this. Like, he gets done on Friday evenings and then he wants to chill with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, Friday evenings, I'm not the chilling kind.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm a performing kind or I'm doing something or the other kind, you know?
Yeah.
But like randomly on a Tuesday afternoon, I'm like, oh fuck, I have no friends.
Exactly.
So Josh, who's one of our friends, Joshua Thomas, will come by because we both are doing nothing at that time.
Yeah.
It's just that the gig economy works sometimes because, okay, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're doing something.
Yeah.
Monday to Thursday, literally in the afternoons, you're sometimes pondering on what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Not these days.
But this has really helped me with my vacation strategy. Because like the closer you book a place to the time of check-in, the cheaper it tends to be. And I'm always on the lookout for these, whatever, what's it called? Offers.
Flash deals.
Yeah, so like, I saw Wednesday, gig cancel. Oh, chalo panchgini. Like, you know, and just fuck off for 2 days. And then come back and be like, oops, I'm sorry, I had to go. I had a writer retreat with myself. You know, it's a lot of fun, dude. And I think it's a different kind of responsibility. Like, you know, when initially you have that, like when you're growing up and you're in the gig, like, cause I was what, 18 when I started doing all the nonsense. So you don't have the responsibility to be like, okay, I can chill now.
Yeah.
And I should be working now. So like every time you chill, you feel guilty for not working. And every time you work, you're doing it half-assed because you're just like,
why can't I chill right now? Everybody else is chilling.
A lot of these Twitter accounts are nowadays, like the hustle culture, as you were saying, they're pushing it very hardcore. Like in your 20s, if you're not grinding, if you're not sleeping at 3 a.m. and waking up at 5 a.m., then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Then what will you do in your 30s? Like, you know, you won't reap the benefits or whatever. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
What is this mindset, dude?
Yeah.
Because I worked sort of nicely in my early 20s, so I could not do anything by my 30s only.
Yeah.
But not like by hustling or whatever, just being smarter around it. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't want to be smart around things. I'm noticing that more and more.
You know,
so
I find the word hustle in itself a little like
toxic.
Not toxic, but like a little shady. Like, you're like, yeah, I'm going to hustle and I'm going to just do the work,
it's always
man.
The
like,
people who have the money who say that. Kind of
that I'm hustling, man. Yeah, like, the richest are the ones who are constantly hustling.
My father had an office, so I went there and I worked with him.
Hustle.
But his employees need to do something for me to preach to, right? So you guys hustle. So our economy is supported by that. That's usually the people who are saying these things.
Yeah, the richest ones are constantly hustling for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm like, tu Ambani ka ladka hai, relax, yaar.
You're ahead of us, like, career-wise.
Okay, that remains to be seen.
You started before us, career-wise.
Okay, that's nice.
You started before us. Should we be afraid?
You know, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, if you are not completely terrified, you're not living.
On the edge.
Yeah, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. Like, yes. Be afraid, because you know what? It's that level, general level of afraid, which will keep you like looking for things.
Yeah.
But also, and I think maybe the confidence that comes with growing older, man.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, you don't understand. I love being 35. What a gift, okay? Like, when you'll get to your 30s, I mean, you'll...
He's 30.
I'm 30.
Yeah, you just turned 30. But like, I'm telling you, the intolerable assholes y'all are right now. It's gonna be like...
Magnified?
Hands up in the air, red Jesus assholes. And you will love it.
Okay.
And you will love it. And I feel like I recommend everybody to get into their 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody just do it if you're listening.
You heard it here first.
Just forge your passport certificate.
Yeah, go for it.
Become 91 bonds fast.
Because it really sort of brings a sense of self-containment. You become more aware of what you can and cannot do.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the biggest comfort is also knowing what you don't want. You don't know what you want. I still don't know what I want in life. But I'm very clear now. Not very. Clear enough.
Yeah.
That I won't put myself through things that I don't want.
Right.
That earlier I would be like, hustle culture, nahi kar lo, kya pata, you know. You grind yourself into a fine paste for this person and maybe something will come out of it. Relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that I love about it. So yes, you should be scared, but you should be excited about the upcoming confidence that you're going to get.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind some confidence. I think I'm indifferent also. So then the confidence is not really a question. You know what I mean? I am underconfident, but I'm also indifferent. So then I do it anyway.
Nice.
If that makes sense.
Nice.
Does that make sense?
You know, it does. And actually, the indifference... The indifference is...
I don't know what indifference means.
Indifference is also significant of... I mean, it's also indicative of confidence. Indifference is like not giving a shit. Right?
I don't give a fuck.
But like, that's not you though. Like, you do give a little bit of a fuck.
No, but not that much on a micro level. Maybe on a macro level, I give a fuck.
I mean, yeah, you show up everywhere you have to.
Yeah. Like, always if you call him, if he misses a call, he calls back. Like... Indifferent people would be like very different.
No,
I mean,
I think that's probably also like with things that, like with people, I give a lot more attention because they're like living and all. But with like with work, you know, you can just like, you can be like, it's okay. I don't want to do the ad. It's okay.
Now I get casting calls and all. I'm like, fuck, yeah, nahi karna meko. Because always it's a fat person. I realize.
But either, take a second. Take
I recently
second.
Remember Utkarsh gave me a call for a Parsi person. And I'm like, oh,
that's I can see you as a Parsi person. I would buy whatever products are selling.
He doesn't
also.
Want it.
I don't want it.
What?
Because I'm not Parsi. It'll just be like me appropriating another person's accent and they'll ask for that accent. You know that, Aditi. I'm going to a Bollywood biographical movie in 1940s, a Parsi character. I will have that. Hey, Dikra, tumne bataya nahi tum yahan pe aa rahe
hain.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, see, and you're. And all
I'm
saying
an example. I'm not actually this person.
All I'm saying is.
Naveen.
You would do it badly here, but with some training, you would probably do it really great on set. You know
perhaps,
what I mean?
Perhaps.
But like, there's like one Parsi left in the world, and then he's taking away that one person's
job.
Yeah,
we are
doing
a meeting
be...
on Thursday. Actually.
Yeah, good.
So, what? I can't wait.
Utkarsh convinced
wait.
Me. Like, yeah, you look the part. I'm like, cool then.
But that's see, and again, what do you mean you're getting cast as a fat guy? I don't understand how that works. Is it because like this is a fat dhobi? Like, is that the call
no?
Sheet?
It's always like some kind of fatherly role. You know, like one thing I don't want, first of all, is to be a father. Two
okay,
kids,
yeah.
Human kids.
Yeah.
And because cats are technically my kids.
Uh-huh.
And second, it's like you have to be hetero for that. Like,
what?
Like, you know, if you're a fathering
oh,
a fe-
like
fe- person, like a full fetus, then you're like, arre beta, tumhari mummy kahan par hai, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, gee, I don't want that.
But like, it's like that's
I don't mind if it's good
I don't
man.
Know what kind of dad you'll make up.
But see, it's
like, arre beta, tumhari mummy. I love the impression of dad you just did.
I'll tell you, I follow this one bear friend of mine who's a gay influencer type. He does mostly dancing reels or whatever. He's very cute. But he did this ad for, I think, one of those audio apps.
Hmm.
I think Spotify or something. Or Shazam or something. Where he's like, you know, he's a regular dad where he's like lawnmower and everything. And then Alanis Morissette song starts playing. And he starts like jiving and he starts grinding and taking his t-shirt off. Sprinklers go on and he's doing the whole Mad Mike routine.
Yeah.
But he's a chubby, hairy guy. That way I feel like they're celebrating the person's physique.
Yeah.
And also their queerness without making it too on the nose.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just feel that that is very stunted for me.
Yeah.
So if you're reaching out to me, you have to know who I am, right?
Yeah.
Like my profile is pretty clear. I'm a queer comedian.
Yeah.
Chubby, but very open with showing my skin also.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My profile is pretty clear out there. Why would I wear a fucking then formal clothes and come from office? Arre beta, aaj main kaam pe gaya tha.
But it's like
a... whatever, khushi ho raha hai. That's not me.
No,
you know
but it's
saying?
Not you. It's like, okay, it's like that. Remember that car ad I did? Right?
Yeah,
where I played the two guys. Right?
That was great. That was great.
So I was playing the guys, right? Like the guy you see on screen is not me. It's the guy that I played on screen. So,
I agree.
So like then if the guy on screen is somebody who wants to show skin, then he's that. And maybe he's a straight dad. Maybe he's a construction worker with an alcohol addiction, you know?
That's really specific. And now that I remember the ad, well channeled. Well channeled.
Yeah. I just feel like I'm at a point right now where something which is closer to me can help me be comfortable in front of the camera.
Right.
I'm pretty much being on the back burner side. It's fine for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a star.
You don't want to be in front of a camera.
Yeah, because I think intelligence is more required behind sometimes to deal with what's in front.
Have you experienced, you've been on both ends a lot.
Yeah.
Which one do you prefer?
Ooh, any day of the week. Like, I mean, I got into this entire profession because, you know, I wasn't getting through a single audition. because, like, you know, I'll be honest. Okay, so this time I recently went to Finland. I did a show called The World According to Comedians.
Hmm.
And it was done by the same people who do like Finnish Idol, right? So it was a pretty big production. And the concept of the show was they airdropped these three comedians, me, one comedian from South Africa, Tumi Murake, and one comedian from the US, Lisa Trigor, into Finland. And then every day we intern at a different Finnish industry, right?
Fun.
And I have not wanted, like, I was really apprehensive about doing reality TV in general because I believe that in India it becomes kind of exploitative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, there was a chance for me to do a fairly huge reality show in India, and I was like, no. And then my mother's like, ticket bikegi. And my father's like, dimag kharab ho jayega. So I decided to listen to my dad in that moment. But, like, you know, going to Finland and then seeing how a reality or like shooting from the other end, from the camera end of how a reality show is made. Because, and by the way, let's face it, the future is reality shows.
Yeah.
It's lesser cost. It's more real because obviously the people are being more vulnerable when they don't have scripts in their hands.
Yeah.
Or they're being manipulated to be more vulnerable, you know.
Tell me about it.
And I realized, dude, that Like, you have to have trust on both ends, whether it's the back end, like the behind people behind the camera and the people in front of the camera need to be really in sync in order to, like, to get a, I guess, a product where nobody feels exploited or, you know, like,
absolutely,
it doesn't end up looking bad for anybody kind of a thing. I would much prefer the on-camera bit. I hardly ever watch anything that I do. Like, I'll watch it twice at max.
That's a lot of times too. That's because most people who watch what you make will watch it once only.
As is the... I mean, but you know, your own stuff, right? You have to edit it. You have to like this thing. Once it's ready, it's out. I like upload a video to YouTube and I disappear. I will not check how many views. Oh my God. Ye wala comment. Oh my God. Like this. Nothing. Nothing. Yeah, yeah. I'm gone. I'm gone. And I think maybe that's also one of those like self-loathing, like, I can't listen to my own voice.
I don't watch the video again. I just see the comments. Like, I love reading the comments. I like reading the good ones, the bad ones. They're damn fun to read. But I don't watch the video. Because when you watch the video after, is when you realize, oh fuck, I should have done that instead. That is heartbreaking. That is just too much to take.
Yeah, I don't have the mental capacity to deal with the, oh, I should have done that. Yeah. Oh, that would have been nicer if it was cut. I could have written that line.
And the best line always comes like 4 days after the video is out. So it's just like the...
Yeah, recently at my Recce hotel also, one of the DAs was like, let's watch Navi's latest video. I'm like, can you fucking not?
Yeah.
And I started, I started physically writhing. I'm like, can you not? And he's like, oh, and then the director was like, Navi's really uncomfortable. Can you please stop this? Like,
he That's sat, hilarious. Sat playing also,
and I'm like, oh, can you... Like, every inch of my soul is just like, I can't do this. At least like, if I enjoy it, I'll enjoy my videos. Go back to it once in a while, because some like, people will be like, hey, this point three something something, you said this joke, and I'm like, I don't remember this. I'll go watch it and I'm like, oh, this was really funny. I was so funny. But like, but like, the group of people now where I'm like, every line that you're hanging on, and if they don't laugh, not happening.
But
you know, I can't watch other people watch my videos. I'll die.
No, I told, I get a kick.
What, like, a creep. You're just standing there staring at them.
No, I don't even look at them. I find myself damn funny, dude. I watch and I laugh, so I drive the audience. Like, I'm the comedian in the back instigating applause breaks at my own video watching. I love it. I love my comedy, dude. It's damn weird.
So there have been times where, like, Akash is like, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing. I'm at home. He's like, come over to my place. I'm like, cool. And I'm like, cool, you wanna smoke something cool. They're like, now you want to listen to 55 minutes of my recording from my last show?
You're like, I'm too high for this.
And I'm like, I've come to your house, I can't say no.
We'll make it through 15 minutes at least.
At least.
I'm always a big fan of myself.
But like, that's a good thing about, like, us just hanging, that we can just start talking about comedy and also come back to normal life, because so much of comedy has become intermingled with normal life, right? Like, it's almost like that.
Yeah, it becomes, and it becomes very, like, everything is the same then. Everybody you talk to is either attached to your work or is part of the scene or something. So you either talk about your own work or about work in general. Yeah. So it's just good to have CV friends, man. Like, just
dude,
random,
you know,
friends.
But that's why I actually, like, and I think one of my biggest learnings growing up has been to draw that boundary between work and between my personal life. And I think it's been one of the healthiest things I have done. Like, I do have friends who are in IT, by the way.
I do have
friends who are in IT.
Yeah.
You know, with not Larsen & Toubro specifically, but with other companies. And like, I think that also, dude, you tend to get like caught up in the circle jerk. Then what experiences are you constantly hearing reflected back to you only?
Yeah. Very, very actively, I don't chill after gigs or whatever anymore. I have skipped the entire green room dynamic. I'm like, I have a partner, I have 4 cats at home. Life's so good. Like, I want to go back to that immediately.
Yeah.
My spot is done. You know, hi, hello. Lot of comics in the middle, even though I was performing constantly, they were like, we don't see you anymore. I'm like, fuck.
Because I don't hang out.
That's the best part. That whole like circle jerk, as you said, it's literally just that sometimes. It's just like, oh.
Speaking of circle jokes, how do y'all feel about this dancing at Sangeet business? I genuinely, I'm a little tired of this constant. My cousin also got married at the end of the year.
But yours is coming now.
Please. I'm not doing jack shit. I'm not doing a Sangeet. There's no Sangeet at
my
wedding. No. There's an after party. Come and dance with us like normal human beings on a dance floor. I don't want fucking item number one mein Akash ke friend, item number two mein biwi ka. Aisa ye mere ko nahi
chahiye. Toh you're robbing some poor wedding MC of a job. As we speak.
What do you mean, Robin?
A decorator from the floor that he'll put up for the performance.
Dude, that decorator of this wedding.
There's a choreographer out there.
Listen, my decorator lives on Pedder Road. Okay, I think he has enough money.
There's a DIY reject who wants to choreograph your wedding.
Yeah, there's a... There's a DID second round eliminator who could have choreographed your wedding.
Here's what I think it is more than anything else. There are aunts and cousins and uncles and
friends. There are aunts and there are cunts.
And friends, all of these people who do not get to be the center of attention much in life. Okay? Like my cousins, like these guys and girls, they are in offices and all, and they're living regular lives, and they don't get that moment of, oh look, it is our Priya, it's wow. They don't get that.
Yeah.
So they need that.
I agree.
My only thing is, why at my expense?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Why should I, forget monetarily, chalo one thing, but emotionally, like I have to fucking dance at that, my own sangeet. And on top of that, when they get married, I have to dance it there. It's a cycle of endless violence on my own sensibilities. It's endless. So, have you danced? You dance at Sangeets, no?
I cannot believe this. The fact that I have been, like, I'm in this discussion is honestly offensive to me. It's so offensive.
Did you turn up for the Sonali one? Because I remember you were in the group.
Oh, can I just put one small...
But you were there, right? You came for the practices.
I came for the rehearsals. The actual Sangeet I had to
Rock and roll. I'm for you.
But yeah, like,
I don't remember this because, yeah.
So first of all, nobody ever looks like... Nobody who's dancing is ever sad.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody who's dancing is ever committing violence.
Yeah.
Nobody who's dancing is ever making anyone else sad.
Can I just...
So, dance supremacy 101.
People will dance at like Yali and Om Jai Jagdish with the same gusto.
100% agree with you.
Oh my God.
But why does
Asli
it...
India.
But why does it need to be annual day, A? And B... Just
what do you mean annual day?
Just a small reminder. My wedding, when it happens, is going to be a Gujarati vegetarian non-alcoholic wedding. Okay? So imagine a sober as fuck Sangeet. Yeah, take a second. Draw it in. Now,
cumulative cringe.
You know, but
and why can't they just all dance? Make a dance floor.
Here's the thing though. I believe that the dances at the Sangeet are catalysts to people to get onto the dance floor, because like, especially if you're sober, right? You've not seen anyone make an ass out of themselves. How are you going to get on the dance floor to make an ass out of yourself?
Yeah.
No, you've seen Chachi, Bua, Fufi and cousins look like cockroaches that have been flipped on their backs for 7 songs in a row. It's time. Do your stretches, babe.
Dude, kuch nahi karne ka garba ka do karna bajao. Sab log nach lenge chup chap. It's not even hard. I am not sold on this. I am waiting. I open challenge to anyone to convince me that a Sangeet is worth it.
So I'll tell you, there are two incidents that, like, my Sangeet incidents that I am, like, will last lifelong is ki. One is, my cousin brother was getting married, and my chachu, who, like any healthy Punjabi man, had a drinking problem, shows up at the... So he was supposed to dance to Duffli Wale, okay, with my chachi. And my chachi is like... And so they both are supposed to enter on two opposite ends of the stage. And they gave him... He had been practicing the whole time with Duffli. A basket.
Yeah.
Okay, with a basket, Ladan. And then on the day of the performance...
Dummy Duffli.
Ha, correct.
A dummy.
On the day of the performance, Duffli was not there.
Okay.
Like, so those not toast, you mean?
Yes, correct. Yeah. And so then, they took a plate, a thali.
Of course.
And, he went out on stage. Now, the thing is, one of the steps involved him taking the duffli and throwing it into the audience. Okay.
Yeah.
So, my cousin brother's wife's cousin's sister. Just had a giant like swelling on her forehead and a cut.
The reflexes.
Because he flung it into the audience and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Captain America, this shit.
This is the same lady who 50 seconds ago said dance never involves violence.
Wait, sorry. I take it back. But that was my favorite memory.
Yeah.
And then my second favorite memory, actually, not even memory, it's an observation of recent Sangeets, dude. A lot of these dances are too complicated.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No, just give me a 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Everyone looks miserable.
Yeah.
Miserable on the dance floor.
Exactly. Like when Sonali Sangeet was happening during the Lamborghini song or whatever. Huh. So like, Lamborghini. Every breakdown is like one thing, okay? Yeah, so I'm like, fuck this, whatever. So I danced whatever Metro or clip because she was like,
then you get put at the back because they're like, dikhna nahi chahiye.
And I'm a good dancer. My gay card would be taken away. I was so angry.
Yeah.
And then after, like, everybody had a few drinks, and then I'm on the actual floor just like doing my own thing.
Yeah. And then he nailed it.
And then she's like, oh, Naveen, where was this? And I'm like, not in your fucking moves, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's a nice girl. I'm just like, drinks ass for no reason.
No, you know, this over like Dance India danceification exactly, of Sangeets is what is the problem.
If we didn't have choreography, like, you know, remember that uncle who became so famous for that, like, you know, and the wife is just catching up. She like, what do the daddy who became
माने से दिल धड़क जाता है आपके आ जाने से
that do you remember he was in a red shirt and that grey jacket he became viral sensation yeah. around the world.
On that disturbing news, I'm going to take a very quick break and see you on the other end for some more Vartalab with Aditi Mittal and Navin Noronha and myself Akash Mehta.
You're wearing a gold chain. What a Sindhi thing to do, Akash Sindhi Mehta.
It's a Gujju thing also.
It's the engagement.
It's the engagement thing.
Oh, you don't have rings or what?
No, we don't have rings. Like, we don't have, as in, we have not got rings. We are getting rings
after
the marriage.
You're struggling with that because the wire is also getting...
Yeah, now it's done. But this, my future father-in-law gifted me.
Oh, that's lovely, dude.
So, I wear it. I was like, why this? And she was like, the kutte ko collar pehnana chahiye. And I was like, yes.
Ek dusre ke gale pad gaye.
Thank you. I was like, thank you, daddy.
And here's a question. Are you excited for, like... in-laws?
I am excited at the prospect of the mundane things that come with married life. Like, I am excited at the weekly, how are you? Are you okay? I am excited for the vacation that I hate from the minute it starts. That's what I know. Like, dhobi aaya ki nahi. You know, but I told you I have taken money out for the mutual fund already. Like, those are the conversations that I am
If
reading.
Akash's wife is listening, please get out while you can.
She's aware. Yeah. By the time this comes out, it'll be too late, babe. But yeah, that's what really excites me. Like, just like waking up next to the same person whenever you're at home. You know?
Yeah.
And then having a sense of home in a person as opposed to a place. So those things are mushy and very real, I feel. So I'm very excited for those. What I'm not excited for is everything else.
Like, define everything else.
Arey yaar, you know, getting married itself is a very unnecessary
procedural
thing.
Can't believe he had a problem with Sangeets, this guy, man.
Sangeets are
what
the
a
devil.
Straight guy thing to say.
What? How is it a straight... Listen, I will dance at my cousin's Sangeet. Okay, I will say no till the last day and then I will blow their minds with a sudden performance. And all of that jazz.
Listen, we practice and hamara nahi hota with these days choreography is so
Bro,
tough.
I'll show you a video after this. Okay, you see and then you tell me. Yeah.
This is an open challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll show you the video after this. You see it.
What's the video about?
It's me dancing at my cousin's recent thing. And improv, not even like.
So then he was the one guy when everybody else was doing what the choreographer told him. He was one guy just
doing the body wave
in the background.
No, I'll me and my fiance were forced to dance after saying we will not dance. And then we pulled out from, as we say, the proverbial term, gaand mein se, a small dance routine that lasted a minute or so. So it was good, man. We did Sajna Diwarewari and all. And we did all the moves and our own kinds of... And so, yeah, it's fun.
I can't imagine you jumping. Like, I can't imagine you having both your feet off the ground
like,
at the same time.
I danced across the world, man. I've danced in Europe and in China. I was a dancer.
Get out of here. What lies?
A child dancer.
A child dancer? Indeed.
He was a chilled beer.
A child beer and a child dancer.
Yeah, I was 9 years and I went to Europe and I danced like in Europe. I'm not making this up. I don't know why people don't
believe. Yeah, you did tell me this, yeah.
Yeah, I did. Wait, so like,
it's a thing I've built very deep into my psyche, I think, and just came back.
I did garba and all that. I'm pretty adept at the moves.
Yeah, he was a professional garba dancer. Unlike the rest of Gujarat.
Worse than most of Gujarat. I don't remember it. But I still have the moves. Like, I still have the gelatinous
the
body structure.
The cadence of a garba dance.
The gelatinous body structure is how I'm going to refer to everybody I know. It's going to be like...
The jello shot of a human that he turns.
But speaking of Europe, you're going to Europe again. And you were just telling us you're going to Europe to give an award.
Yes. I'm so excited. Like,
what is odd?
So, you know, here's the thing. I went to Europe like a month ago and I realized that about 9 people in Europe totally.
Yeah.
And about 7 of them are above the age of 80. Even though they all look like they're in their 40s or whatever, it's the cold that preserves really well. And I just did a show for Finnish Access Television, like public access television. And so they called me and they were like, we want you to come back to Finland. And I was like, oh my God, is it me with my second job already in Finland? Imagine coming from the biggest market in the world, India, and then being like, Finland is my market. So, I was like very excited. They said, you know, we want you to come here and give out an award. And I was like, that's it? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, oh, you, like, do you not have anybody else? Yeah. Like, has everyone aged past 80 or whatever? They were like, no, we just want somebody, you know, to come from an outside country and you just add some melanin to the stage or whatever.
Yeah.
It's probably a diverse.
But
like,
you know, Indians historically fill labor voids. You know,
and look at us. Look at us. Yeah. I'm gonna. As I'm giving out the award, I just give it out and be like, I'm gonna take your job.
Yeah. So from being a ward to now giving out awards, I've come a long way. Yeah.
I had gone to Australia for shows, Abhi, and when I was there, there was this slot machine. Did I say the story? The slot machine story.
Yeah.
I already said the story.
I think you told it to me.
Oh, okay. Did I say the story? The producer doesn't know shit. other sparsh. Basically, there are these स्लॉट मशीन ओके एंड उधर है ना थर्सडे नाइट को सब बुड्ढे लोग को अपना पैसा मिलता है सोशल सर्विस का जो रहता है वो तो दे ऑल गो टू द स्लॉट्स लाइक स्ट्रेट अप ऑल दी ओल्डीज विद एडिक्शन बुड्ढी बुड्ढी आंटी लाइक दे ब्लो $100-$500 इन अ नाइट ऑन स्लॉट्स.
You know, that is a better thing than old people in India do, which is police other people's behavior.
Yeah,
I would rather.
दोपहर को वाइन पीते हैं रात को गैम्बल करते हैं. Nice. अच्छा लाइफ है. एंड सो आई वेंट देयर एंड माय आंट कॉल्ड मी एंड सेड यू पुट मनी इन स्लॉट मशीन. And I said, what? And it was my birthday. And she didn't even know it was my birthday. She didn't know I was in Australia.
Nice.
All she cared about is ki gamble karne ka tere ko aaj mere ko aisa pata chala hai. And I'm like, okay. So I went and I won, dude. Like I put $2, I won $124.
Wow.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And when I won the 100, now first I won 24. Then when I won the 100, there was this old lady who genuinely looked at me like, dude, you can't take this from us. Like, ye to hamara tha, yaar.
Yeah.
Like, it was a good feeling, dude. And it was my birthday also. And I blew that money on one pack of cigarette. Because it's Australia.
Yeah.
But hey, so women in labor.
Oh, yeah, that's a direct connection.
I mean, the old lady was in some sort of
labor.
Yeah.
So Women in Labor is a podcast that I started doing last year with Christina McGilvary and Laura Quinn, who are two journalists who work with the UN.
Mm-hmm.
And Women in Labor was formulated because we confronted the alarming statistic that the number of the women's participation percentages in India have fallen to the lowest in the world. Like, we are lower than Bangladesh and Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
And we're at, I think, we were at 19% in the first season and we're at 14% now that we're doing the second season. And so women are not participating in the workforce. And like, in a capitalist economy, you need to work in order to have your voice, you know, some value, et cetera, et cetera. I'm the child of a working woman.
Mm.
I myself, depending on what I feel that day, I'm a working woman. And so, you know, it really blew my mind. And I was like, oh my God, this needs to be talked about. And we are like at the end of the first season. So we did all these interviews with like, you know, cool, inspiring women. And then at the end of the first season, we found out the main reason why the women's participation in the workforce is falling is just guess why. Guess.
Pregnancy.
I don't even want to. I think whatever I guess will be wrong. Lack of jobs in general.
So, close enough, both of you. I mean, those are two problems.
Yeah.
But the number one reason that women are not participating in the workforce as actively is because men are not helping out at home. Because Lalla doesn't want to pick up his plate and wash his chaddi. And that's why.
What a dumbass fucking reason.
That's what I read a tweet about recently. Like, a woman was like, how can both of us have jobs? And then when I come home, how is it my responsibility to do another job of keeping the house clean and stuff like that?
Oh, fuck.
This is what I feel sometimes with myself. So
But that's that. It is absolutely insane. Like, even when we look at it, maybe it's education. Maybe not enough women are getting educated. Oh, no. Turns out, more women are educated in the history of India
than ever.
Yeah.
And at like higher and higher levels, right? So there are women we spoke to who had like multiple PhDs, six PhDs, but they will not enter the workforce because they have the same problem where they are married, so they have to come back. And turns out, even being really wealthy
doesn't actually
change anything because families are generally conservative.
Mm.
Like, in fact, the wealthier ones are generally conservative. And they want ki, you know what, even if she's going out to work, she has to come back because roti to hame bahu ke haath ki garam garam khani hai.
Bullshit.
My sister fully faced this, I'm telling you. Like, they moved in with their in-laws to avoid the whole hassle of like taking care of the kids and everything. And when they come home, like, it'll be hot food. Kaam badh gaya.
Like, I'm babysitting the babysitters. Now what do I do? Like,
Who will babysit the babysitters?
That's ridiculous, man. Like, my mom has never cooked. Like my mom used to cook like way back when my grandmom still had her way in the house. And at one point my mom was like, hey, And now she can cook. And at every point in my life, like my mom was like, you don't really need to learn to cook. Just need learn to make a lot of money.
Then
you'll find someone to cook.
Same with my mom. Like at a time when we used to live in the Charles of Bombay, like family was so poor that both my mom and dad had to go to Dubai and Kuwait to work, right? Yeah. Leaving my sisters who are like now in fifth and third standard to be taken care of by the neighbors, essentially. Like my father would be here 3 months, then my mom would come 3 months, whatever. They would like keep alternating. And then my father left and came back to India and stayed with them for a year, okay?
Holy shit, I didn't know this about you. That's really freaking crazy, dude.
Yeah, I was not even born by then, okay? Oh, okay? My mom was still in Kuwait only.
I was all like, wow, what an emotional owner.
Wait.
And then Akshay Kumar saved his mom.
The airlift situation happened with my mom, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was conceived in Kuwait. Like, that's why. A lot of people think I look like Saddam. Anyways. But no, so when my dad came and lived with my sisters for an entire year, he really did not like give a shit. Like, he was like, okay, we'll figure out what to eat type. So sometimes they'd be like, okay, here's fucking what I'm about to eat. Go. Hmm. There's no proper food. So like neighbors would take care of my sisters.
Hmm.
My father dropped the ball in the education department. Like, did not like care about their whatever studies or whatever. My mom is like still doing like satellite management. Like, in my older sister flunked like fifth standard and then she had to repeat that year. And that's when my mom was like, fuck this, I'm coming back because you can't even handle this part. And then I was born.
Ah.
And my mom had to like essentially come back in a panic situation also because of that.
Airlift.
Gulf War. Yeah, so then
that's
like...
That's crazy.
Yeah, and
that's
then like...
Crazy.
Since then, they were good in the studies department. I was the smartest kid actually. Because there
which
was
is
no,
not to say much.
Exactly, exactly. Like my sister who did not fail during that year was the one tutoring me. So it's like... And then we had a massive argument about how do you spell tuitions because she was smart and she was like, it's T-U-I-T-I-O-N. Yeah. And we were like, no, it's T-U-T-I-O-N. Fuck you. Prove it.
Tartian. Tartian.
Tartians.
But yeah, and so we started doing the second season. And
what is the second season address now that we have established the
number? Yeah, so like now the ship has sank, okay? The ship is officially at the bottom of the sea. Now it's how do we plug the holes to turn into a submarine?
Okay.
Which sounds impossible, but it is. Don't worry. You know, I think this time we sort of like, they were like, hey, so we want to do a second season. And I was like, oh my God, you know, at least I will have some employment. Chalo. So maybe this is a good thing. Dude, so we decided to focus on the women that are already at work.
Hmm.
Right? Earlier, our conversations were very centered around, you know, sort of the larger concepts. We were talking to very specific people. We spoke to Guneet
Monga,
who is this incredible producer. You know, we spoke to a couple of people who sort of, you know, we spoke to a couple of Anganwadi workers.
Hmm.
We really went for it. And this season, we decided that, you know what, we're going to focus on more abstract concepts like choice, negotiation.
Mm.
And negotiation, by the way, we spoke to this woman called Ruha Shadab. And I think her recent report went viral. She leads this foundation called Led By.
Mm.
And its focus is specifically on increasing employability of Muslim women in the workplace.
Right.
Mm.
And the survey they did recently that went viral was that, you know, if you take the same resume and you put a regular non-Muslim name on it, and you put a Muslim name on it, the chances of getting called back are literally halved.
Wow.
The same resume, same qualifications, same everything, right?
Yeah.
And sort of this reveals the deep fault lines that there are in our employability and labor practices in India.
Mm.
And one thing that I think, stop me if it's getting boring, but the one thing that is blowing my mind right now is that in India, that was supposed to reap this demographic dividend of like 25% of us or 50% of us being below the age of 25. You know, our labor was going to be our big force.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I guess in 2010 when we still had hope. And what shocked me, and like as I do my research, is that we don't have any labor-specific reporting. That's why whenever, you know, people go, and that's kind of why I was bringing up the whole gig economy thing, which kind of blew my mind. I was like, oh yeah, because you don't have that security of that job.
Yeah.
Nobody's working in the same company for 25 years and then retiring with a golden watch or whatever. None of that stuff is happening. Now it's everyone just like, take your thing, do your thing and leave.
Yeah.
Right. And even though the payment might be higher in certain, like in some gig jobs, there's no security.
Yeah.
And does that, and then of course they blame millennials that, oh, y'all don't want to buy houses, y'all don't want to, you know, get married, y'all don't want to buy cars and all. Yeah, because there is no security.
Yeah.
And the way of life, as it were, that we've been told that we were going to get or we saw our parents get is kind of non-existent.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I don't know if your parents were well-to-do, the likelihood of you crossing how much they are worth right now, very less. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of what like blew my mind. I was like, oh, you know, the way we talk about labor, the way we, even you, where we all got cut our teeth doing stand-up, which is at a comedy store. Huh. Was built on the whatever is inside the Phoenix Mall. Mm. Yeah. Phoenix Mall was built on the Bombay Mills.
Yeah, reclaimed land. Yeah.
Hanji. And it's the Bombay Mills, basically the end of the Bombay Mills came when the labor union went on strike.
Yeah.
Because they were demanding better working conditions. And the strike went on for too long.
Hmm. Some 4-5 years it went on.
For three years it went on. Yeah. And then the, you know, the owners decided to sell the property off. Hmm. And that whole area, which was sort of made of labor.
Mm. Correct, yeah.
Suddenly then now you can, now each flat over there is like some 3 crore rupees or something like that. So it is, I guess it's a function of our socioeconomic, but you know, like the word is progress? No. I mean, it's industrialization.
Yeah, sacrifice has to be made.
Huh, that's basically. Yeah. So who are the people we are leaving behind?
Yeah.
And with the second season, we decided that, you know what? Let's lessen the impact. Let's make sure that the ones who are getting left behind also is a lesser number.
Right.
That's the broad aim. Whether we manage to achieve it or not, everyone please tune in and listen.
Yeah. That's amazing though. Like just the idea that so much of labor is what drives the economy. And then in India, especially like the way they were left behind or in Bombay, we all hear stories of the mills and everything. And then just to put context to it, it's amazing. So many people like jobless. And I still remember seeing this old chawl settlements. Like the labor class was the one who first got the idea of like buildings, but like multiple people living in small pocket houses first to Bombay.
And then Banded India.
Going from something like mills that are now not functioning in India. You're working on something with IBM and that's exciting.
Yes.
And tell us about that.
The show is called Banned in India. And it is about things that are banned in India. My one learning from the show has been that a lot of, like, you don't really need to ban stuff in order to make it inaccessible to the public.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of banning is done by us as a society.
Yeah.
We are very big on banning stuff, or at least calling for it. Ban it, just remove it.
Yeah.
I think it robs us of the opportunity to have more nuanced conversations.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's one of the reasons why we are in the state that we are today. Like in a really like polarized, you know, world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell us one of the things that are banned.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh my God. So there are some crazy things out there. Okay. There's some crazy things out there that I was like, what is this banned?
Yeah.
Reverse gear. You know, those tunes that used to play when you reverse your car.
Yeah.
They're banned.
They are banned, my friend. You cannot.
But rightfully so. I think I'm on the side of this banner.
It's like having a collar tune, you know what I'm saying? I'm reversing now.
And the personality of the car comes like such a jarringly different, because then it'll be like a SUV or like a big Jeep or something. And it's like doom.
It's not like doom. That's more appropriate.
Yeah, that's more appropriate, actually. Something like as stupid as like, what is the song? Like,
that is so inappropriate for car reversing.
Please close the door.
Oh man.
So that's one thing that's banned. Then the second thing that the weird thing is, I remember being conscious, like not a child when this happened, but like undergarments on mannequins is banned.
Whoa.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Undergarments on mannequins. So then how do you sell undergarments?
You have to just
you
hang them up.
Clearly.
You just have to hang them up and put traffic cones in them or whatever. I don't know. What's the policies
No, they have this round thing, no, that they do. It's a round metallic thing and then they put the chaddi on it.
Oh.
And then it looks like how much it will stretch types.
Okay.
And then they hang it in layers like that.
And actually it's so specific, right, that it can't be a full mannequin wearing underwear. So it can be, you know, that weird torso without the head and without any legs or whatever.
We are in
a type of...
Yeah, we live in a country where people have fucked monitor lizards. So I kind of understand where that one comes from. Like, you know, ki agar pura plastic kara to, it's too realistic. Like, they'll keep vanishing.
There'll be creeps who still go on the mannequin and check kya hai niche. Like, when we used to do with Barbie dolls when we were kids.
Nipple nahi hai isko, nipple kitna hai isko.
You know, now they have these mannequins which have like normal body and then a giant head. And that confuses so many people. I imagine somebody coming from the village and just like, oh fuck, Mumbai mein aise bhi log hai.
Sheher mein aise log hote hai.
होंगे टिकटॉक वाले लोग होंगे.
Oh my god, yeah, we discuss the TikTok ban also.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's quite interesting. By the way, right now the US is also considering a ban on TikTok.
They have been doing it for 2 years now almost.
But wo mushkil hai.
They have better.
So there are
I wouldn't
some
say
things.
That right now. I was going to say they have better things safeguarding their freedom and everything.
No, I mean, okay, if the US does it as a strategic decision, as a fuck you to China, I understand it. But like India doing it as a fuck you to China is slightly funny. Because yeah. if you look at just basic trade deficit, we owe them way too much. We are dependent on China for almost most of our imports, okay?
Yeah.
So like for us to say ki tera apne is a slightly rich, I feel. Ki like, tu kis muh se bol raha hai, bhai? Tu wahi muh se baad mein jaake China ko kuch na kuch mangne hi wala hai. You know,
yeah.
So the trade deficit is not enough here. But yeah,
you know, I can. So I've done some research.
Yeah,
I've sort of disappeared into conspiracy theory holes. speaking from the bottom of one of those pits, you know, a part of me is like this kind of like the if you explore the reasons, it kind of makes sense.
Hmm.
Okay, and security reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
it gets
if
stuff
something,
from your phone.
Yeah, and if it's something that even the rest of the world is considering,
yeah,
there is something around it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when Biden and frickin' Trump are on the same side about something, then you're like, oh, there must be something yeah. to this conversation.
Yeah.
The loss, however, is off, I think, like a world stage
yeah.
for Indian performers. And the way TikTok had sort of like
exactly.
run into,
yeah.
you know, unconventional yeah. socioeconomic band of people
yeah.
and made them stars.
Yeah.
We saw this movie and we interviewed him for the show. Divyang. Not Khor Bagade.
Khobra Gade.
Haan, Khobra Gade. She was that lady who got arrested for human trafficking in the
what?
US. Yeah, she was. Divyani Khobra Gade was the daughter of some Khobra Gade who was. This is like a late 2018 story.
Okay.
I'm going to stop on this.
It's okay. Thank you so much for coming, though. It's been absolutely great.
Yes, everyone, please listen to Banned in India and to Women in Labour Season 2.
Yay! Thank you
for having me, you guys.
When the Finnish show comes out, watch that also.
Oh my god, yeah. Dude, they're trying to find like Indian platforms to host it right now. They found a platform in Korea.
Oh nice.
In
oh.
Korea. But
oh,
there's
nice.
No Korean people on the show. They've already found a distribution outlet
nice.
For it. In India, they're still looking.
Okay.
Cool. If any distribution outlet.
If you're a distribution outlet.
Please outlet us, yeah.
Yeah.
Please let us out.
Please distribute.
Yeah. Okay, done.